So the person and work of the Holy Spirit, I didn't even see it on there. I know I taught it way back, like 10, like maybe 12 years ago, I taught on it. And then I taught on the Holy Ghost, and then on the subject of the Holy Spirit and His person and His work. And I think I did it a few times, and then I haven't really touched it for a while here systematically. But I think it's important systematically that we know the doctrine of the Godhead, that we know the doctrine. We understand the doctrine of the Trinity. We understand the doctrine of God. We understand the doctrine of the Holy Ghost. I think it's vitally important that God's people get a good understanding and a grasp on who the Holy Spirit is. There's not a whole lot of preaching on that, really, doctrinal, good, strong doctrine. It's not Pentecostal preaching, or that's not charismatic teaching, or just plain heretical teaching from others out there. More Baptists need to get doctrine out there in front of their people, in their churches, but also out online. Get it out there. Get more truth out there for people to understand the Bible, for them to understand who the Holy Spirit is and His work, His person and His work. And I think you may be surprised tonight at some things that you learn, and maybe you've already learned these things, but that's okay. They're good review, and you'll know where to find them. We'll be all over the Bible tonight. We'll be in a lot of different scriptures. So we're going to start with Acts chapter 13 and verse number 2. And I might just go about 45 minutes to 50 minutes, and if I don't get finished with that, we'll pick it up next week because I'll be teaching more on it. But we'll see. Maybe we'll get through it all tonight. We'll see how it goes. Acts chapter 13, verse number 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." So right here we see the Holy Spirit speaking. And we see him speaking to the church or to those prophets, which I'll kind of explain that a little bit. But we see his ministry. It doesn't say that it was God the Father, because that's very specific when it says the Father from heaven spoke, right? Or when Jesus speaks, it's very specific. Here it was the Holy Ghost speaking to these men that were separated, these teachers, these prophets that were in Antioch at the time. They were prophets. What does the Bible say? For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So that's what you're seeing right here. Holy men of God spake as they were moved, and the Holy Ghost spake to them and said, "Do this." And they did it. Right? So this is more than just the leading of the Holy Spirit. This is the Holy Spirit actually speaking to them in this sense. Because that's what the Bible says, and they were prophets. So there were still prophets there. That position had not died out yet. It was still there. Why? Well, because the gospel had to go to the known world. It had to be preached everywhere. And Antioch was the center of that preaching. It was the place to be in biblical times right there. It was the place to be in it at that time. So if you were there, then you saw a lot. And that's why there's a record of it here for us today. But we're going to get an understanding of the Holy Spirit here tonight, Lord willing. Let's pray. Father, help us now as we look into this. Help us to judge wisely through the Scriptures. Help us to discern. Give us the Holy Spirit's unction and His illumination, Lord, to understand the text that we have here before us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, it's a good time as we come to this to explain who the Holy Spirit is. He is probably the most forgotten or ignored or neglected person in the Trinity. I would say that very easily. We have to understand the Holy Spirit is God. It is God the Father. We understand who God the Father is. And there's God the Son. And then there's God the Holy Ghost. They are all God. They are all God. And He does have a personality. He is a person in the Godhead. He is a person. He is not a force or a work from Jesus or from the Father. He is a person. The Holy Spirit is the acting power of the Godhead, the acting representative or the person in the Godhead who is working on this earth today. He is the active person in the Godhead working today. Jesus said it very plainly, which we'll get to. So you need to understand His work and understand His person and His office so then you can be a good student of the Scriptures and understand how God teaches us along the way here, and we'll show you that here tonight. But the understanding needs to be there. They make up the Blessed Trinity. We see Him working, but we should look at His person and His work. A broader understanding will help us as we serve the Lord in this church and individually. The Holy Spirit is not merely some influence. That is what many cults teach, that the Holy Spirit is like the Force in Star Wars. He's like an influence. He's like a power. He's like the force. He's like the chi. He's like the energy. He's like the power source, but he's not. That's not who he is. The Holy Spirit is a person. He is God the Holy Ghost, and that's who he is. And you need to understand that. And the Bible warns us of that over and over again. The Holy Spirit, he is also not merely the Lord's Spirit in the same sense that man's spirit is. There's some people that try to teach that. Well, I heard Denlinger, right? Big heretic. He is a dungslinger. He's a stinking heretic. I got no respect for him at all. He's just an outright, dirty, rotten, little devilish heretic. He is, plain and simple. I mean, when you pervert who God is like that, you know what? I'll just remind you what we talked about on Sunday, right? What was his name? Marcion. What did he say to him? Yeah, I know who you are, you son of the devil. The firstborn of the devil, right? And that's who I think that guy is too. So anyway, but they try to teach a doctrine that says that the Holy Spirit, well, that's the spirit of Jesus. That's the spirit of the Godhead. And then the body was Christ. And then the Father, you see what I mean? That's what they're doing. They're trying to make it like man. That's what they're trying to do. And that's heresy. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says the Holy Spirit is a person. He is a person, and I'll show you he's a person. The Father is God, the Son is God, the Spirit is God. The three divine persons are one God. Man's spirit is never said to be a separate person in itself, but the Holy Spirit is a person of the Godhead. It is a great mystery, but it's not greater than the mysteries, David Cloud writes, it's not greater than the mysteries presented by some of the material objects around us. We cannot understand but the mode by which certain agencies produce the wood of a tree, its bark, its foliage, its blossoms, its fruit, or the way by which human food makes bones and flesh and skin and hair and nails. These are mysteries, but we believe them freely, though we do not understand the process of development. In one sense, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are three persons, and in another way, they are one. Webster's dictionary defines the Trinity as the union of three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in one Godhead. So that all the three are the one, are one, God, as to substance, but three persons as to individuality. This is in the main doctrine of the Trinity as held by all great communities of Christendom, said William Cathcart, the famous Baptist historian. So, having said that and opened up with that, we're going to get through a lot of scripture tonight. We'll see how far we get. But we're going to talk about, number one, the personality of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost of God has a personality. He is a person. And we'll deal with the Holy Spirit as his relationship with the Father and the Son. There are some Bible passages that speak of the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of God or the Spirit of Christ. By this, some conclude that the Holy Spirit is only an indistinct part of the Father and Son. Something like man's spirit is of man. This is not Bible teaching. The Holy Spirit is one with the Father and Son, yet he is also distinct. Matthew 28, turn there. We'll turn there first. The Great Commission that's there, Matthew 28. We see the distinction in the Godhead right there. Verse number 19 at the end of the chapter. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. All mentioned there. All mentioned separately, but united together in that verse. You see that? 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Verse number 14, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, comma, and the love of God, comma, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Right there, you see the distinction there. It's not hard. It's right there in front of us. 1 John 5:7 is another one, another famous one. One that's hated by many. One that's disputed by many. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Say, I can't fully understand it. God didn't ask you to understand it. He asked you to believe it. He already knows your peon little brain and mind's not going to understand it. That's why, hey, listen, guess what? I can't understand everything that's befell me in the last 3 years of my life. I just have to trust God and keep going. And I've, there's many times like, God, I don't know why this is happening. I don't know why I have to go through this. I don't know why this has it. But you know what? Either way, I've got to keep going. I've got to keep serving the Lord. I've got to keep, God doesn't want me to have full understanding of everything. He wants me to trust Him. He wants me to live by faith. And that's what you have to do, is live by faith. You're not going to I'll promise you one thing. Some scholar will knock you out and knock you over and get you to walk away from God, because they'll throw something at you and you'll be like, I don't understand it. So I'm going to curse God and run out and live like a whore. Don't believe it, do you? I've seen it. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. I've watched people do it. I've watched them do it. Why? Well, because I don't understand it. Well, God never told you to understand it. He told you to believe Him. That's what He told you to do. That's what He commanded you to do. Because some slickster is going to come along sometime and try to twist you up in some knots and talk you out of that King James Bible right there and talk you out of your faith and talk your children out of your faith, and you got to look them straight in the eye and say, I don't care what you show me. I believe that book, and I'll live and die on it. And if you don't like it, you're going to go to hell. Man, this was supposed to be a nice doctrinal message. I mean, sweet and easy. And wake Giannis up over here. He's going to start shouting on me here. He's going to be running aisles pretty soon. How you doing, brother? Good. Good to see you, brother. All right, anyway, I better keep going. I lost my place. Yeah, well, it's probably going to happen. I'll have to gargle tonight. Anyway, all right. Galatians, Ephesians 2, there we go. Man, that was fun. All right. I don't even know where it came from, because it wasn't in my notes. Okay, it must have came from the Lord, because I wasn't even thinking about that. Anyway, but that's how the devil works, though. He'll get you twisted up on something, so you just, well, I can't explain that. Then you could turn out like a heretic like Dungslinger does over there, and you turn out to be like a heretic like that guy over there. That's how you turn out to be. Over there spooky in the woods somewhere, sitting there stroking your beard that's down to your ankles, and you and with your, never mind, I'm not going to go there. But anyway, I'm not going to go there. I'm going to be nice. All I'm saying is that's where you'll end up. Why? And not in a church, not serving God, not being faith. Why? Because somebody tried to twist you up on something. When sometimes you just got to believe God and just move on. I don't know. I can't understand it. If I tried to explain you every crazy thought that went through my head and everything I've been through in the last 3 years, you'd be like, this guy's insane. So I don't explain it to anybody. I don't even tell you. But I've met people that didn't have the guard of the Holy Ghost. They didn't have Him. Praise God I got Him tonight. I'm telling you. You know what? I've seen people not have. You know what they do? They write weird messages on Facebook saying that churches have descramblers and they're trying to descramble their messages and everything else like that and all kinds of weird stuff. I know I'm on it tonight. I'm going to stay on it. But I'm just telling you, I've watched these people go crazy ballistic and run off because their minds get twisted. Why? Because they quit believing this book and they start following their passions and their emotions. And if you do that, you'll end up the same place. What's that, brother? Yeah, they do. They'll turn out to be a Seventh-day Adventist or anything else. Yep, all of it. That's where they go. Why? Because somebody tricks them out of their Bible. That's how it happens. That's how it happens. You better decide you're going to die with this book, and that's the way it's going to be. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Amen. Through the Holy Ghost. Amen. We have through Jesus Christ we have access, right? And with the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Bible tells us very specifically of that. Ephesians 4 through 6. Right here, there is one body and one Spirit, even as you're all called, and one hope of your calling. I like that. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Amen. And you better get excited about something tonight. If you don't, I'm going to start screaming more. All right. But there you have it right there. One Lord, one faith. But what's it say? And one Spirit. One Spirit. It's a person. Holy Ghost is a person. Amen? He is. Let's turn to John 14. We're going to be back in this book. We're going to be back in John 14 through 16 a lot here. Let's see how far we get here. If I didn't blow the speakers out on Luke over there. Blow them out, Luke. You have to turn me way down. Like I turned you down. When I see you going in spaz mode, I just cut you off right there. Looks like I just shut it down right there. You don't need the mic. John 14, 16. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Who's the comforter? Well, you know, people have names. right? People have names. People say, you don't know what God's name is if you don't speak Hebrew and you don't speak this, and you gotta give them this big long name and what do they call that? The Tetris Grammatron or something? What do they call it? Yeah, that thing. Tetragramma something tron, right? It's not Metatron, thank God. But anyway, but that's, they have this big long name, right? They say that, well, what's one of the names of God? Comforter. Because the Holy Ghost is God. And one of his names is Comforter. That's his name. That I will send you. I will give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelt with you, and shall be in you. Amen. There's some good doctrine for you right there. We'll get back to that. I won't stay on that for right now. John 16. I hope you're moving your Bibles. You better be getting in those Bibles tonight. Amen. You need to be in your Bible. It's good for you. I hope this ain't the most Bible you've looked at all week. John 16, verse number 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. That's a person. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. Amen. I'm glad he is. Praise the Lord for that one. Amen. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Man, you know what? You ought to remember that verse. Why don't you underline that verse right there? Look what he says there. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. God's got a whole lot of things to say to us. We just can't understand them right. We can't bear them right now. We can't handle it. Man, I'll tell you what. If God would have told me half the things and showed me half the things that would befall me or come my way, even through the scriptures, if he would have opened up my understanding, you know, the Holy Ghost didn't open up my understanding to a lot of things until he made me suffer through some things. He didn't. That's right. I couldn't have handled it. So he let me suffer through some things, and then he opened up whole portions of his scripture. I mean, books of scripture just became more real to me than they ever were. The Psalms became more real to me than they ever were. Christ became closer to me than ever before, and I could see him everywhere. Amen? Yeah, exactly. Right. Jesus withheld it because he said, you can't bear it now. You're not going to be able to. Amen. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself. That's important. Remember that. He shall not speak of himself. So the Holy Ghost didn't come to give a different message. Do you understand that? He's God, but he didn't come to give a different message. Why? There's unity in the Trinity. In the triune God. There's unity there. So he came to give the exact same message that Jesus gave. The exact same message that the Father sent the Son to give. That's why he came. The exact same. There's no difference. Same message. So if that message is different then, and somebody says, I'm being led by the Spirit to do this. Well, if that message is contrary to the spirit of this book, then we know that that wasn't the Holy Spirit talking to them. Right? And that's how you can know whether the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. Because sometimes your fearful mind and your anxious mind and depression and all kinds of stuff can come over you. And you can think, well, that's God's condemning me or God's upset with me. Well, you need to look at the scriptures and make sure, well, is that consistent with what God said in his word? No. Okay, well, I better throw that out then. Amen. That's some real good practical advice tonight. Think about it. Amen. The Holy Spirit is called a person and does the work of a person like we just showed you all the way through these scriptures here. You can see that. A person does that. The Holy Spirit has his own feelings. Ephesians 4:20. He has his own feelings. Ephesians 4:20. I think it's the wrong verse. Is it 5:20? Get it wrong here. You know what I'm talking about. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. That's in Ephesians 4, isn't it? I thought it was. Anyway, somebody look for that one. You got a smartphone. 30. Okay, 4:30. Okay. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. He's a person. He can be grieved. Mm-hmm. You can grieve the Spirit of God very easily. The Holy Spirit of God has His own will. You don't grieve a force, you grieve a person. He has His own will as well. Acts chapter 13, our text verse. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." Now you do understand that Jesus appeared to the Apostle Paul before, right? Remember when he's in prison, he said, you know, you're going to... Jesus appeared to him in that prison, the Bible says. So Jesus could have came and appeared at any time. But what Jesus, but Paul was, the reason why Jesus appeared to Paul was he was one born out of what? Due time. So there was a purpose for him to appear. After that, there was no appearance there. What was it? It was the Holy Spirit that spake. And now the Holy Spirit speaks to us through His Word. Right? As the Holy, as holy men of God spake, and as they wrote the Scriptures out, we have them. We have a more sure word of prophecy. Because the Holy Spirit is the author of this book. Amen. Also, Acts chapter 15, verse number 28. He's a person. He has his own feelings. He has his own will. Verse number 28. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. Seemed good to the Holy Ghost. That's a person, amen. Acts chapter 16. Oh, wait, no, that's the wrong one, sorry. 1 Corinthians 12. First Corinthians 12, verse 11. But all these work at that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He will. The Holy Ghost will as He gives you, gives gifts in the body, right? It's His will. He has a will. The Holy Spirit has His own mind. Romans chapter 8. We're going to be in Romans chapter 8 a few times here tonight. There's a lot of good stuff there. Romans chapter 8, verse number 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. The Spirit, that's a person. He's a person. Right? He's helping us. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. He has a mind. The mind of the Spirit. Because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So how does that work? So you're praying, and the Holy Ghost intercedes for your prayers according to the will of God. Always according to the will of God. Because He knows the mind of God. Amen. He knows the mind of God. He can be grieved, like we talked about. He can be lied to. Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, verse number 3, another verse proving that the Holy Ghost is God. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. So the verse there says that he had Satan had filled his heart to lie to the Holy Ghost, which is the lie to God. Right there. The Holy Ghost is a person, and he is God. He can be blasphemed. Luke chapter 12. I'm going to tell you what, if you need to get a doctrine straight, it's this one tonight. You get this doctrine messed up here, you'll get carried away by the charismatics and the Pentecostals and every one of those people. We're going to answer their little question next week about, have you ever been baptized in the Spirit? We're going to answer that for them next week. We don't have time this week. We got to keep going. Luke chapter 12, verse number 10. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. Why? Because he's the acting person in the Godhead working on earth today. And if you say, go Spirit, go away, no one else is going to reach you. No one. It's God's Spirit that does that work. Amen? Because he is God. He can be quenched. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Quench not the Spirit. Right? He can be quenched. What does that word mean? Let's look at that word. Twelve times in the Bible, by the way. Sounds like it hurts. It's to extinguish, to put out, to still, to quiet, to repress, to check, to stifle, to cool, blame. Well, it'll be a work, but it'll be a different one. You can quench the work of the Spirit in you, yes, by disobedience, by continual disobedience. You stunt your growth, you don't grow like you should, and you send yourself through to grievous chastisements and temptations. You lay yourself open to grievous chastisement and temptations. Yes, like a father does, right? Yeah, like the father would chasten a son that would not obey. Yeah, among other things, but yeah, that is part of it. You stunt your growth and you hurt yourself a lot. You quench his work, stifle it, stop it. What did Stephen say to them? You stiff-necked and rebellious. You do always resist the Holy Ghost. That's a person, and they resisted him. Right? Amen. He has a will. The Bible says he giveth gifts severally as he wills. Right? We talked about that earlier a little bit. Let's see. Hang on a second. 1 Corinthians. Verse 10. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God knows man and knows God. He knows the true nature of man, he knows the true nature of God, because he is God. The Holy Spirit is a person with feelings, just like you. He can be hurt. He can be lied to. He can be spoken irreverently to. He has a will. So many forget about the Spirit of God and His vital work in the church and in the believer's life. We see in our text it was the Holy Spirit who spake, not a movement, not a force, not some kind of cosmic energy, but a person spake, a person in the Godhead. By the way, that word Holy Ghost is 90 times in the King James Bible. At number 9 is the number for fruit. And where the Holy Ghost abides and where He is welcome, He comes and makes His abode, and fruit comes from that. But again, you can stifle that. You can quench that. There are a lot of Christians that quench the work of God in their lives by disobeying clear commands from the Scriptures, by ignoring the Bible, by ignoring God's Word, by ignoring His commands. The Holy Ghost is the active working person in the Trinity on this earth right now. I've said that before, but I can't say it enough. You have to understand, He is the one that empowers His church. He is the one that empowers the people. He is the one that fills you. He is the one that moves in you. He is the one that works in you. And we're going to talk about His office and His work now. We talked about His person. Now we're going to talk about His office and His work. What exactly His work is. He has a job to do. He has an office no less important than that of Christ or the Father. The Godhead is equal to each other. There are no divisions. They are God. Some people say that the Holy Ghost came in the Son's name and did not speak His own message, but the message of Jesus. So therefore, how can they be equal? But John 14 through 16 shows us that they were. It's about unity of the believer to Christ and unity to the Father and the Spirit. Jesus was teaching unity that the Spirit would say the same thing. If not, that Spirit is Antichrist. It's not the Holy Spirit of God. How many people claim it's the Holy Spirit of God today, then they teach things that are contrary to the Word of God? You get people saying they're going to stand up and they got a word for you, and they got a Jezebel in the pulpit. I just saw a short video on Twitter of some lady, and everything she said as she walked around with two slits, looking like a slut, and on the stage. And I won't pull any punches on it. I don't care. Hey, look, listen to me. I don't want our daughters to grow up thinking it's okay to dress like a whore. I really don't. I hope they know how much God hates it. And if you get mad at me for saying it, well, maybe you ought to say it. Maybe you ought to inform your children that God doesn't like that. I'll be as explicit as God is with it. How's that? How's that? Because you know what? Nobody else is going to warn them. Everybody else is going to play patty cake with them and watch them go off into the world. Aren't we seeing that now? I can't tell you how many kids I serve the Lord with at my sending church right now, and I don't even know what they are anymore. You can't even recognize them. Young men got long hair down to their rear ends looking like girls, singing in the choir. Somebody's got to hold the standard, don't they? Somebody's got to do it. If we don't do it, who's going to? If you don't tell your daughter that God doesn't like trashy dressing, God hates it. God says they're whores. They're dressed like whores. God describes the attire of a harlot for you. I don't want anybody to think that's okay. And since when do we apologize for God's standards, by the way? Since when do we feel the need to apologize for God's standards? When is that? How is that supposed to be our duty to apologize for holding standards high? I don't care what you call me. Don't call me Amish because I know my doctrine. Don't call me Mennonite because I know my doctrine too. And I ain't hiding from nobody. I'm right up in your face on the street preaching the gospel right in front of you. And don't call us some silly little stupid cult either, because I'm right here. You open that door, you come on in and listen to this word of God preach. You follow me around if you want to and see what I believe and what I hold to. You call me whatever you want to. Doesn't matter to me, but at least you'll know that I follow this book and you prove where I don't and I'll get right with God with it. Too many people apologizing for God's work, apologizing for being a Christian and being sanctified and separated and sold out. Isn't that what's wrong today? Isn't that what's wrong with us? We think we got to apologize for God's way? Yeah. Like slip the gospel into them. Like they'll get saved by accident. Oh, I've met people that do that. Here, give me your hand. Give me your hand. Let's pray. Okay, Carl Hatch squeeze here. Let's do it. Right? Praying for him. I had a missionary tell me that. He told me, I was in a house with him, and he was like, okay. And the lady goes, I don't want to pray. She told him like four times. She said, okay, can I pray for you? Yeah, okay. Dear Jesus, Beverly's here with us. Beverly, if you want to be saved, just repeat after me. Beverly didn't want to be saved. Beverly wanted you out of her house. Beverly wants you to go. She will say anything if you leave. Just leave Beverly alone. She wants out of here. Get out of here. I've seen it. We're going to apologize for the real work of God? I'm not going to. Care what you think, I believe. We got a problem with what we believe. Right? At least we ain't cowards. We admit what we believe. We don't have no secret doctrine. Ours is right there. You got to look around for no secret doctrine. You got it all. I'll give it all to you. You ask me what I believe, I'll tell you what I believe about it. Amen. Yeah, they do. The Holy Ghost, you can see it in John chapter 14 through 16. You can see the work of the Spirit, the Comforter, talking about unity and teaching, and that the Spirit of God would come and would do that work. What about in the Old Testament? Did we see the work? Now, we could go on and on. We don't have time to go through every single one of them, so we won't, but because the whole Bible is filled with the works of the Holy Ghost all the way through the Bible. Amen? And just like it is full of Christ all the way through the Bible. Genesis chapter 1, though, verse number 2. Let's start in the beginning. What a great place to start. Amen? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. There you go. There's the Spirit of God's work in creation right there. Right in the beginning of man, of creation right there. How about Job 33? Let's go there. Job 33, verse number 4. The Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. Amen. What's that? Yeah, it does, doesn't it? The Holy Ghost, that's the work that he does in man. That's the work that he did there. By the way, people are inspired. The Bible says that. If you go through there and you look at it, the Scriptures say that God inspires men. He does. Amen. We believe that. The Holy Ghost works in the script, in the inspiration of the Scriptures as well. The Bible says holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. These Scriptures are inspired. This is the inspired Word of God. I'm not looking for the book that's inspired. I have the one that's inspired. Yeah, it says is given by inspiration of God, not was given. Is given. Amen. This book is inspired. I believe that. Better believe it is. And that's the reason it's alive, because the Holy Ghost. The living Word of God. Amen. Genesis chapter, let's see. Let's look at Genesis, let me find it, 41. Genesis 41. And this ain't no doctrinal class in college. I'll tell you that right now, man. Maybe that's why they don't want to teach doctrine, because they're so boring at it. I like teaching. It's fun. I like it. It's fun. I can yell about anything. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? Amen. It's Joseph, right? Pharaoh's talking about Joseph. Man, that guy's got the Spirit of God in him. Right? Funny how he knew that, isn't it? Psalm 51, let's go there. Some of you didn't do your devotions today, so you're getting them now too. And just like, man, that preacher's feisty tonight. What's wrong with him? I don't know. I feel good though. Psalm 51, verse 11 to 12. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. David's talking about desertion there. Amen. Isaiah 48, let's go there. Man, I hope you can find Isaiah 48. If not, you got to make you memorize the books of the Bible. Isaiah 48, verse number 16. Come ye near unto me, hear ye this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning. From the time that it was, there am I. And now the Lord God and his Spirit hath sent me. Now look at this next one. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. You've got the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost right there. Right there. Amen. That's good stuff right there. Man. I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. Amen for that. He'd be in a lot of trouble if he wasn't leading. And when he's not leading you, and you're being stiff-necked and rebellious, you're in a lot of trouble, ain't you? All right, I like this verse, one of my favorite ones, Isaiah 59:19. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Amen. That's God's work. That's what he does. How about in the life of Christ? We see the work of the Spirit in the life of Christ. Turn to John chapter 3. Verse number 34. I like this one too. Boy, this one will tie your brain in knots if you just don't believe God's word. Just believe God's word, because otherwise you'll get your brain all messed up here. All right? The spirit understands it. The brain's just like, okay, I don't know what you're... I mean, I see it there, but understanding it, I don't know, but I believe it. I believe it. John 3:34. For he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the spirit by measure unto him. Unto who? Christ. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. You know, the only way I can believe this is God's Spirit. You understand that? That's why I believe it. I believe it because of God's Spirit. Can I explain it perfectly to you? No. But the Holy Ghost drives it home. Yeah, I just believe it because God's Spirit. I understand when people say I can't believe that, or I know you can't. Yeah. Well, I don't know. Don't believe it. And I understand why, because they can't. You can't until God's Spirit shows you. And when you reject light, you're not going to see it. Amen. That's just the truth. Okay, how about Matthew chapter 1, verse number 18, and the birth of Christ? You know, Jesus is subjecting himself, being born of a virgin, right? So here's the other person of the Godhead that comes in on the earth and does a work. Isn't that amazing? I think it's so awesome when you see how everything works together. God has everything. Just like, but by the way, your life is the same way. God works the same way in your life. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Luke 1:35. Dr. Luke here. And the angel answered and said unto her, oh, by the way, let's go back to her question because I think it's a good one. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be? Seeing, I know not a man. I might be 16, but I know how things work, and that's not going to work. How's that going to happen exactly? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Man, that's powerful right there. That's powerful right there. Right there you see the work of the Holy Ghost right there to overshadow Mary's womb. By the way, what's another picture of that? He did it before in a type. Come on. Think. What's that? The Spirit of God moved upon the waters. Same picture as the incarnation. It's a picture of it. Moved over, overshadowed her womb. Right? Yeah, amen. Wow is right. It just gets gooder, don't it? That'll mess up some people. They're English there. They won't like that. Luba just wrote it down. I'm in trouble now. I'm just kidding, Luba. I'm just kidding. She's got her editing skills working tonight. She's like, I can't believe he said gooder. Oh, that's funny. Matthew chapter 3, verse number 16. The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. Amen. Well, that's the Spirit of God. I don't know where I got that verse at, but that's a good one. Anyway, that's 4, isn't it? It's a good one, but that's the wrong one. Matthew 3:16. I like that one. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. He didn't say it was a dove. He said, like a dove. He said, the Spirit of God descending like a dove. Jesus saw the Spirit of God. Why? Because he's God. That's right. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. There's the Trinity. It's not that hard. It's right there. You got to miss that on purpose. You got to not want that to be true for some reason. Right? How about Matthew chapter 12? Matthew chapter 12, verse number 28. This is the Holy Ghost work in the life of Christ. Matthew chapter 12, verse number 28. Jesus said very plainly, but if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come unto you. The Holy Ghost also anoints God's servants as well, doesn't he? Does work in their lives. By the way, what about in his teaching? Let's move on. In his teaching, in Acts chapter 1, verse number 2, let's look at that. Jesus taught about the Holy Ghost, and he said what he would do when he left. Now, see, it wasn't a strange thing. You know why it wasn't such a strange thing? Because Jesus talked about the Spirit of God the whole time on earth. He taught his disciples about the Spirit of God. He taught him how the Spirit of God was going to work and how he's going to say the same thing. Right. Acts chapter 1, verse number 2. Until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. That's right. How about in his temptations, Matthew chapter 4? When Christ was at his most difficult time ever on this earth, to that point, right? Matthew chapter 4, verse number 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. You see that the Spirit of God's work. See how much I got to go. Oh, man. Oh, yeah. We're gonna stop pretty close to here, I think. Cause, yeah, we probably will. But, in his temptation right here, when he's being tempted, you know what? When you're being tempted, the Holy Spirit is there for you. The Bible says that he what? He makes a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Right? I'll tell you something right now. Before you fell into sin, God showed you a way to stay out of it. He showed you a way to stay out of it. And you ignored it. You just kept moving, kept going on with your plans. You know what I see people do? I'll tell you what, I've talked to people and I'm counseling them and they're making the wrong decisions. I mean, they're clearly ignoring the revealed will of God. That's never going to end good. Right? And they just keep making wrong decisions. And then you come and you warn them, those decisions are wrong. And you need to stop. And that's God giving them a way out. But I've seen him not take it and go headlong into it. Yep. They go headlong into it and they ignore it. God gives them a way out. God shows them what's right, gives them a way out, shows them the right way they should go, but they ignore it and go their own way. Well, I'm going to do what I want to do. If you catch yourself saying, I'm going to do what I want to do a lot, if that's in your heart and your head, you better start changing your phraseology a little bit and saying, I'm going to do what God wants me to do. Because if you tell me what you want to do, that's great. Tell me what God wants you to do. Tell me what God wants you to do. Well, I want to do this, and I have all these dreams. I've heard people do it. I've seen it in their marriage. They've got all these dreams about what marriage is going to be, how it's all going to work out, how they're going to plan for everything, how they're going to do everything in the future, how everything's going to be planned. But what does God want? I didn't ask you what made you feel good or you thought you were making a right decision, but what about the Lord? And then I have to say, well, the Spirit of God goes along with His book. The two are inseparable. You can't claim that you're following God and ignore His Word. You don't get to claim that you're following the Holy Ghost and you're the spiritual one. I deal with married couples and things like that. One says, oh, yeah, that God's going to use them and they're going to keep going. And they're going to serve God. And they're going to do all this, right? Wait a minute. Well, you're ignoring the Bible, though. How can you do that? You can't ignore clear scripture, right? You can't ignore clear scripture. You can't ignore that. You can't ignore that and then say you're following the Holy Spirit of God. That's nonsense. You're not following the Spirit of God. You're following your own prideful heart. See, He shows us that. But He's there for us in our temptations, in the deepest, darkest temptations. Amen. I know that to be true. I know that to be true. I can tell you that. I've seen God help me out of and help me through many things. Amen. God sure is good to us, isn't He? How about into the resurrection of Christ? Romans chapter 1. We're not going to get to all this tonight. I'm just going to double down on it next week and give you some more. That's okay. It won't hurt you any. Right? It only stings a little bit. Actually, searches. Romans chapter 1. We'll read the first couple verses here. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated under the gospel of God. He's a servant first, you see that? Then he was an apostle, separated under the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. I like that. See that? When anytime you see the word made concerning Christ, it is always dealing with his incarnation. Always dealing with his incarnation. What it's dealing with. And when it calls him the firstborn of every creature, that means he's the head of his creation. You understand that? He's the head of the new man. He's the head of the saved. He is the head of the new life in Christ. He is the head. He is the firstborn. Right? Exactly. That's what it has to do with. That's what it's speaking of. Yeah. Amen. And declared to be the Son of God with power. See that? According to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. He's called the Spirit of Holiness. Right? According. And declared to be the Son of God with power. Yeah. A very strong and powerful declaration. Right? All right, 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse number 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. By the way, this is a great verse. This verse is teaching justification by faith alone in Christ alone, but the justifier is Christ, and that's what it's teaching you. That faith is a tool, but Christ is the one that makes men just. God will require it of you. When you forget that, trust me, I will tell you this by this book and by experience, that if you forget that your faith is not as big as what you think it is, if you forget that, you'll learn, because God will bring you to a place of absolute fear. He'll bring you to a place of a lack of assurance where he will pull his assurances from you. The sweetness of the Spirit of God and his assurances will be pulled from you, and he will get you to do what? Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He will bring you to look at Christ and say, now you will look for me everywhere. And you'll find me when you search for me with all your heart. You will find me. I will be found of you. All right, he's going into a trance. Somebody stop him. Thought he's going to run the aisles, but he can't walk yet, so that'd be weird if he did. Anyway, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. What is that, Jacob? What's that called? Yeah, yeah. The legal term, reconciliation, and also the atonement. Right? That he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. We haven't even got to what the Holy Ghost does for us. We're not that far yet. We're not going to get that far tonight. We're just about his work, his office and his work. We haven't got to what he does in man. We're getting the operation of the Spirit through the Scriptures and his work. And we're going to stop there tonight, because that's all the farther we're going to get. But you look at this verse right here. It says here that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. That's how God raised him from the dead. Right? He gives us the Spirit of God. So Jesus showed the work of the Holy Ghost all through his ministry. All through his life he showed that work. God showed the work of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. He showed us the work. And Jesus, up into his ministry, all the way up until he ascended into heaven. And he promised that he would send the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. And he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. That's the work of the Spirit. Now, you're going to find that out next week, because we're going to talk about what he does in our lives. We're not even going to get to the loony cults and all that other stuff. We're going to be dealing with us next week, the Holy Spirit's work in our life. And I think it's important that you understand his person and his work. Hope you learned something tonight. And, you know, when David cried out, search me, O God, and know my heart, try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. Lead me into the way everlasting. Amen? That ought to be the heart's cry of God's people. Search me, try me, know me. That's an old sermon. I preached that a week before Carrie got saved. A long time ago. Mm-hmm. 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 There's liberty. Yes. which is another reference. Right. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yes. Yes. So when you look at it, the Father spoke the same message as the Son. The Son spoke the same message as the Father, and the Holy Ghost spoke the same message as the Son. It's all the same. There was no difference. Because there's no disorder. There's no disunity in the Trinity. There's no disunity in the triune God. There's none. Nope. Mm-mm. So when you understand that, then you better understand the work. You better understand the Spirit of God. Okay, good. So we talked about his office and some of his work, and we'll get to the work that he does in the lives of his people. And there's a lot there. I think it'll be helpful to you next week. Let's pray. Father, Lord, thank you. Lord, if anyone doesn't have the Spirit of God, I pray they'd get saved today. I pray they turn and trust Christ as their Lord and Savior. The Spirit of God convict them. And move in their hearts and give them no rest until they come to you to know life everlasting. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the sacrifice on Calvary. Thank you for strength. Thank you for mercy. Thank you for the Spirit of God that energizes and gives that dynamite or that power to preach the word, to be instant in season, out of season, to reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost. Thank you for the strength of the Father through the Holy Ghost. And thank you, Lord, for Jesus dying on the cross for our sins, being buried and rising again and ascending up on high. And Lord, we thank you for that. Dear God, let that life be lived in our hearts and our lives this week as we go about in the world. Please help our brothers and sisters, Lord, that are struggling. Help those that are sick. Be with Cindy. Help her and heal her up and raise her up, Lord. And we pray for others, Lord. We pray for Carly's recovery. We pray for others, Lord, who are under the weather. We pray, Lord, that your hand would move in the hearts and lives of your people. Thank you so much for all you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.